Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show. Well, we want to welcome everybody to Transformation Cafe. We've got Mr. Jamie mumbling and coming in. Hi, Mr. Jamie. How's it going?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
Mr. Jamie
good.
Calling from Seattle, Washington.
Are you on pins and needles trying to figure out, you know, waiting for the Super Bowl game this weekend? Are you just on pins and needles with the whole thing?
I'm just waiting for the game like everybody else up
yeah.
here.
Now, you're going to get it kind of sideways here. So I heard about the deflating football situation that they had with
mm-hmm.
the Patriots. So I know, but some people are saying that the Patriots don't deserve to be in the Super Bowl.
Well, that's a whole can of worms there that you've just opened. But again,
go ahead.
Oh no! All right. I think it takes away from the game itself, but it is also good for the Seahawks because it diverts attention from the other team. I mean, the other team can't concentrate on just playing the game. And if you're a professional athlete, I'm pretty sure that you know what a ball feels like, especially if you're a quarterback. And the other team, the Patriots, have been proven, they've been fined before for cheating. Not specifically the football thing, but they were caught and fined for that. I think they figured out that maybe there's somebody in the organization that did tamper with the footballs prior to the game. But that's some low-level person that they're probably going to stick this on. And that's just my opinion, of course. They're going to throw this guy under the bus, and then they're not really going to do an investigation until after the game is done.
Well, no, they don't want to put any more light on that until, you know, like you said, until after they finally get everything taken care of.
Well, the quarterback and the coach and even the owner of the team have denied everything and totally don't acknowledge that it, you know, that they're that it might be a problem, you know, for them. But again, I think if you're a professional athlete, you would know the weight of the ball and the correct pressure.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a quarterback.
Well, thank you for adding to that on set. So Gloria's getting up to the table as well. Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
I think that's a really weighty issue.
How are you
no,
tonight?
It isn't.
Or what if we're talking about we're talking about the inflation of the footballs with the whole controversy.
Jamie saying that he thought that, you know, whoever's handling the ball would know what it feels like. I said it's a very weighty issue.
Yes, I know. Yeah, and that's a very good
point.
They're
under a lot of pressure.
There is a lot of pressure.
Well, not as much as they're supposed to.
Right.
I think that I think we should all just take a moment and decompress.
There you go. I think that's what the problem was. But anyway, okay. So the other day, Gloria and I, occasionally have conversations like, you know, hey, what are some good ideas to be having on the show for just really interesting topics? And so last week we talked about, if you go to our episode 240, it was about, we started out anyway, with some of the news statistics about women that are choosing to stay, in college, and some of the choices that they're making for being their own breadwinners. So we kind of went off on that, and then it ended up getting into being at school and all different kinds of stuff. So it was an interesting conversation. If anybody goes back to check out that conversation, love to have you leave any comments or questions or anything like that with that episode, because as always, we always leave a room with the show that you can go ahead and do that. But after that, she called me up and she said, I remember the other thing I wanted to talk about. And why don't you tell them about the NPR show that they had on, Gloria?
They had an interview with a gentleman who was talking about the different kinds of bees, and he had mentioned, you know, that while people had been talking about the seriousness of not having bees, that, you know, they said, well, is it still really a topic of concern? And the gentleman being interviewed said, yes, it is. And he went on to say that there's over 700 varieties of bees, and that some of them have very specific purposes. So the idea of a cutter bee, they work, this is my understanding, and it was a very brief, I'm not completely knowledgeable about bees really at all. And my understanding was that cutter bees specifically interact with alfalfa. And, you know, if you don't have the bees to work with the alfalfa, and so you had so many different dimensions, and I definitely think that it's something worth paying attention to and still pursuing. I don't think that we should let that particular topic die down about being concerned about survival of the bees.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of really wonderful information I got online, and I was looking at all different kinds of different things that were on there. Where I started was I've been really looking into nutrition and superfoods, things like that, for the last 5 years or so. And David Wolf, he is he's a specialist in nutrition and really talks about superfoods and things like that. Had a lot of wonderful things to talk about with the benefits of just honey itself. And just in the history of honey has been around since pretty much the start of civilizations. And then back in Egyptian times, you know, when they were going around finding tombs and things like that, there would always be a jar of honey that would be in the tomb area. And the honey was still edible. The honey was still good because it has its own way of preserving with the preservatives and stuff in it, where the antifungi and all the different kinds of stuff, all the just the really wonderful things that are on that with honey. So it's one of these longevity foods, superfoods, that's just been on the planet forever. And we know that on a certain level, especially when we were back in the days of, keeping it local and keeping it with all the different things that are beneficial for the body. So I thought it would be good to just talk about, you know, just a little bit about, you know, the different things that David Wolf had been saying about it. Because one thing that's really great about bees is they can thrive in any environment. He says he's seen bees. You can take them into the desert, and they're going to be able to create. They're going to be able to create, because their whole thing is, we think how wonderful they're making honey, but what they're actually doing is they're going around and basically, pollinating and eating the flowers, because that's all they're about. You know, 24/7. It takes like 2 million flowers to make a regular jar of honey. It's amazing how many flowers it takes for them to be able to go ahead and convert that into the pollen. And pollen is, for them, is just a complete protein. So it's always going to the flowers, and bees basically are that's their thing, is to go ahead and do that. And when you look at longevity and when it comes to age-defying remedies and stuff that's out, the royal jelly that they create actually for the queen bee, they said it's a queen bee herself would only survive 3 to 6 weeks if she wasn't eating the royal jelly that the bees create for her. And because of that, the average lifespan of a queen bee is about 7 years, which is amazing. Because most regular worker bees and things like that, they live about a month, and then they switch out. So going back to what Gloria had been sharing about one of these guys with the interview, they were saying, you know, the real drop in bees started back in like 2006. And at that time, even from the 1950s, there had been a decline of the amount of bees that were basically going to pollinate everything. And it's actually been about a half of what we used to have in the 1950s. And what they found from 2006, which is kind of interesting, all the different things they've talked about, because some of it they say it's because of cellular phones, part of it's just a lot of the different landscaping, because there's like monocrops and stuff that they do nowadays with a lot of soybean and corn crops and things that they do. They're really limiting the amount of different things that are out there for the bees to be able to eat, you know, because it's just like us. They need a variety in their diet for keeping themselves healthy. But they were just saying that it's now in back in even the, before 2006, there was about a decline from the 1950s, about 15% a year of the amount of the bee colonies that were there. From 2006 till now, we're losing 30% of our bee population every year. And if you think about that, they said that that would be the equivalent of thinking of bee boxes, you know, the where they create their hives. Imagine that from the Oregon State all the way to Wisconsin. And they just, all those rows of boxes. That gives you an idea of how many bee boxes are being lost every year. So there's just lots of things to talk about with that. You know, and with the Transformation Cafe, one of the things that's really wonderful about, you know, having a show like this is really making people aware of it and knowing that, you know, we can be part of a paradigm shift and really be have the awesome being part of having being a part of the solution. And there are things to do about that. Was there anything else on that that you you were thinking about with that, Gloria?
Well, the only thing that came up while you were talking that I'd like to add in as a medical note is that we should not feed children under the age of 5 the honey because it has, I think it wasn't botulism. There's something, you're not supposed to feed your child honey until they're 5 years old.
Okay,
when you were talking about the jelly, when you were talking about the honey in the Pharaoh's tombs and how it was still edible, and, you know, yeah, it has natural preservatives and has different things that ward off, I don't know if it wards off diseases, but I know that it's very healing for the body. And yet, before 5 years old, we should not be feeding our children honey.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. And, you know, it's been a little while since I've had a little one around the house, so, but I remember that too. That's something that we were careful about when we were done. So there were some, a couple of the different things that I looked at were a couple of talks from TED Talks, and I love TED. Just the different specialists and stuff that they have on there is really wonderful as well. So one of the girls was really cute. She was talking about all these bee facts. So I thought that was really interesting. The honeybee is really the outgoing bee when it comes to all the different populations of bees. And you were quoting, how many different species did you say there were of bees, Gloria?
It was 700.
700? Okay. We're quoting in the radio. That was an NPR
right.
interview.
Right.
Yeah, the one that she was saying there's over 20,000 species of bees, and what the majority of bees is interesting because most of them live in the ground. Most of them live in stems of flowers, which is really interesting. Didn't know that. And that, but the honeybees are the ones, and the bumblebees are the ones that really kind of buzz around, and we get to know them more because they're the ones that definitely are more active on a level of, especially doing all the pollinizations and stuff that they do. But honeybees can be trained to sniff out bombs. Kind of an interesting thing that she had us on. And there's been, you know, with military service and stuff they have. So we've got some military bees being able to sniff out bombs. And they say that bee venom is has been actually used to destroy HIV, the HIV virus. So it's been really beneficial in helping
people,
to cure AIDS. What?
There are some people who use the bee stings for MS treatments.
Okay, so there you go. So MS, and I'm sure there's other stuff out there too. Go ahead.
One of the things that came to mind when you were talking about the honey bee or the sniffing out of the bombs, my brain started to go into, you know, what would killer bees used for? And it's like, oh, kamikaze.
Kamikaze, yeah, that's very true. Can you imagine if they created bees that would actually, well, you know, you've got the African bees. You know, you've got these bees coming over from the other. I didn't really research anything about that. But I think that's another reason why people are just like, oh, bees. You know, they're going to, you know, there's, you know, most of the publicity people have seen with bees is, you know, there's a swarm that attacks somebody. You know how that goes.
Well, and it's kind of like it's kind of like the bad rap that sharks get, too, because you have different varieties of sharks, and they are not all aggressive. I mean,
Yeah, there's only, just a handful that basically are, you know, the way the predators, the way they appear on, on, you know, when they have Shark Week or something like that, you know, with these Discovery and stuff like that, that they have the different kinds of stuff on there. Yeah, what was really interesting is the one TED Talk I was watching, this girl, I didn't write down her name, I should have wrote down her name, but she, from a very young age, she really appreciated bees and insects. And she actually went to college to become, you know, a beekeeper. And she, the guy who trained her, he would go around just basically with shorts on, and the bees would just get on his body, and they wouldn't sting him. They just loved him.
Yeah.
And she said,
I had them land on me all the time.
Yeah. And the one thing that she found, that is the people that are beekeepers have just this really intimate relationship with bees, to where they're a part of their family. It's this very unique, you know, thing. Because it's one thing that bees can actually recognize the human face when it comes to stuff. So that makes sense that there is a connection.
I think it also comes down to that energy aspect, too, that is emitted. When you have a familial connection, whether it be to a family member, a pet, or an insect, they're going to sense that.
Yeah, I would think so. I wonder if there's anything with, like, your pheromones or something like that they're sensitive to, too. I don't know that much about honey, you know, bees and their sense of smell, if they even really have one or not. That'd be kind of an interesting thing to find out.
Well, ever since I was in that incident for Sweat Lodge where I was stung multiple times, and I've not had a fear of them. Yeah, I really didn't have a fear before, but now it's more like that familial feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had bees land on me. I had one example was a bee landed on my finger or my thumb, and it literally I saw the proboscis, which most people would call a tongue, but it's not a tongue. And I think that that's where they smell. And I saw the proboscis come out of the bee's mouth. I don't know the proper name. And stuck it underneath my thumbnail and just sat there and looked at me and then flew off. It was just an amazing experience, and it was such a nice bonding and connection.
Well, the one girl, they show pictures of her, and she's kissing the bees. They're like on her fingers, and, you know, they're like on her hand, and she's kissing them. Yeah, that's kind of interesting thing.
I can see that, totally.
Yeah. So she said it's funny that bees prefer flowers that have a caffeine nectar. She said that helps them to work a little faster and they remember more, just like us. So they're looking for the flower cafe to get their fix. I thought that was really cute. Can you imagine all these bees getting their buzz off of the caffeine flowers? So that's very cute. And bees were getting their buzz on, exactly. Bees were getting their buzz on. I'm writing that down. Okay.
To be or not to be.
To be or not to be. Yeah, we were talking about that before the show. Like, you know, and I was going to say, you know, the bee's knees and all the different other kinds of things that have been out there for different stuff. It's just really interesting. So when it comes to looking at the different things that we can do to be helping with the situation, and we definitely, everybody needs to be just making that small contribution. If everybody did a small contribution, it would make a really big difference. So a few things that we can do is there's actually at a national level, they actually are asking for a bee policy. And what that policy is going to do is help people to have more holistic farming going on. And really what it is, it's just a matter of minimizing the amount of pesticides and herbicides that are basically being used on farms. And when it comes to taking care of weed abatement and things like that, they're burning the weeds. And then they're also doing borders that are going to be some of these things that the bees go for. And the number one thing that you can make a big difference is plant flowers. I mean, you can plant them in your yard, you can plant them by, you know, anywhere you've got a place where you can be planting flowers, she said, plant them, please, because it's a matter of making sure that what they used to have back in the day before they had a lot of the pesticides and stuff like that, to be taking care of a lot of the overgrowth and stuff that they didn't want with the regular crops, was what they called a cover crop. And that was the clover and the alfalfa, like you were first saying, Gloria. So it's really important that we get back into having just prairie flowers and prairie, you know, anything that's going to flower is going to be making a big difference for the bee population. And it's something everybody can do, whether you just do it in a pot or in your garden or in a planter or, you know, whatever you can do to be planting flowers. But I was really happy to hear about that because it's just such a simple thing to be making such a difference in the world of having more flowers. So along with that, too, is when it comes to our vote, she said your fork is a very big voter when it comes to what you're choosing to have. So it's important to look at the kind of different kinds of foods that you're going to buy. And if you can buy things that are more organic, they have to go to these different, you know, like we're saying, these bee policies, where they're doing more holistic gardening because it's a matter of not having all the pesticides and things like that. I heard the other day somebody was saying that the average different foods and stuff like that that are in the grocery store are sprayed with at least 3 or 4, you know, chemicals with different stuff for just pests and things like that. You're just sitting in the grocery store. So it's not uncommon for people who work in the grocery stores to every, you know, once in a while have to be doing detoxes for just the fact they live in that, you know, they're working in that environment 24/7. So, you know, even thinking about that. And when it comes to the bees, you know, they're using these herbicides and pesticides. They're actually spraying it on the seeds before they even plant them in the ground. And so these things are basically a part of the plant. And then so when the bees come to take the pollen, they said that the average bee, they've done different kinds of tests and things like that with it. I'm trying to remember what, I think it was at Penn University, they were studying the bees on this level. And they said they have at least 6 different pesticides that they take back to the hive. And a couple of them are on a micro level that they're not even sure what they are because they're so synthetic that it's really affecting the honey and things like that. So, you know, and you know, part of me kind of goes, oh, my gosh, you know, you're thinking you're got honey and it's one of these, you know, healthy organic things. Well, depending on where they're basically creating the pollen, that's going to be something that's going to be affecting their honey. So it's always better to get something that's more, you know, urban, I mean, rural instead of urban. So having that on that. And then another thing that she was talking about is adopt that basically you're going to get into a program of planting seeds because she was, you know, one packet of seeds will, you know, you can't even imagine the amount of health that can do for, you know, your local community as well as the bee population because it's something that once the plant, you know, these seeds are, and the seeds are out there, the plants are out there, the flowers are out there. So it's something that's really going to help us to get the numbers back up and have it. She said one of the cool things that's happening is there's a lot of backyard beekeepers nowadays. And she said, but the only thing about that is we need to take it back to a level when we've got all this agriculture that's going on, making sure that on a big agricultural level when it comes to growing food and stuff like that with these food services and stuff we've got going on, and a lot of these farms and stuff are taking up the different things that can be happening with that. So what do you think about all that, Jamie?
Well, bees are important, and of course, we won't have if they don't pollinate and do their job. A lot of our natural or a lot of the things that we take for granted won't be here, you know, especially fruit.
Yeah. Well, they were showing a grocery store, and they said this is a regular grocery store with the bees pollinating things, and then you know they showed another one where more than half the food was gone. Basically out of especially more of the produce section, but a third of the base of all of our world's food is basically from bee pollination, and a lot of people don't realize that. Yeah, I always remember a quote from Albert Einstein that said, when the bees disappear, we will too.
Right.
You know, and as a note, if anybody's interested in doing any beekeeping in San Diego, you can get beekeeping supplies at the home nursery, which is south of the... It's where I took you with the organic nursery. And it's south of the 8, and it's off of the 805, off of Home Avenue.
And what's it called?
It's called Home Nursery.
Home Nursery. Okay, and that's in the San Diego area. Yeah. And, I mean, even if you're on hearing another part of the United States or around the world, I mean, you can always call these places and go online to check out different kinds of bee things that are available and...
Feed and grain stores are a good place to look.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know in Albuquerque, New Mexico, they basically have the original seeds that they've got going on. So, and that's actually a large area that because there's lots of prairie out there and open space where people aren't using pesticides and stuff like that. Because like I said, you know, these these can work in any environment. They're basically going to be using the flowers that they can go ahead and be able to create pollen.
Did you say they have the original seeds?
Yeah, they're basically called the prairie seeds. Seeds to
are
everything.
For
they're basically
flowers?
Prairie flowers, everything, anything that's basically.
I'm surprised because Monsanto has put quite a constraint on being able to keep and retrieve natural seeds. They're all going to the genetically modified materials.
Yeah, that's one of
they
the one places that I know of just in the world that they're keeping them, trying to keep them as pure as possible. Yeah. So, Monsanto's, that's a totally different show. That's a big show right there, talking about Monsanto. And, you know, if anybody's curious in that, too, you know, just, yeah, that's called lawsuit.
That's called a lawsuit show.
Yeah, definitely.
I tell you, if they can sue Oprah Winfrey and win.
Yeah. Well, and just to remind everybody, I mean, you can make a difference. It's a matter of, you know, what you're choosing to purchase in the grocery stores, what you're choosing to have in just even restaurants when it comes to things like that about, you know, when it comes to foods and having in that be such a force for good when it comes to the economy. And just going out there and going and planting, you know, all different kinds of fruits and vegetables and just flowers. Flowers is just going to be the one thing that really helps us.
Speaking for looking of healthy foods, in the San Diego Business Journal this week, they are talking about a company that is coming down from the northwestern United States and has purchased 21 stores, I think. Apparently, the chain of Albertsons and I think it was Vons. I could be wrong on the names, but they had a conglomeration of two different food chains, and the court ordered that they disperse. They had to sell off some of their stores. And there is a grocer, maybe the person's name was Hagen. And I'm sorry, I don't have more information. I'm going off the top of my head. And they will be offering not only the healthy food, but and then the organic, but they're also going to start looking at carrying local food. So a lot of the farmers markets and things, all of the people that supply there will probably start looking to supply some of these local grocery stores too.
Yeah, that's another thing to remind people locally that, you know, go to your farmers markets, and almost all of them usually have, I know in the Riverside area, every market around here, you can get raw honey that's local. And for people who have allergies and things like that, you know, make sure you're checking with your doctor. And when it comes to anything for health purposes, you know, we definitely want you getting medical advice. But, you know, look into honey, especially a raw, local, organic honey can be, I've heard really good, wonderful things about having it being very good for allergies and all different kinds of stuff where it can really change your stuff. So, and just to kind of remind everybody, up in the Seattle area, they basically have their flower festivals and stuff like that up there. They've got don't they have a tulip festival up there, Jamie?
Yep.
Wow, when do they have that?
There's a whole valley of them, I believe.
When do they have the tulip festival?
I believe in springtime.
Isn't it late March, early April?
It's
late March, early April, I think.
We're
right.
coming to see you, Jamie.
Okay.
Say it again, what valley?
The Tulalip.
Tulalip Valley?
Tulalip. Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Tulalip Valley. Yeah, my younger sister.
That's the name of it. You could probably Google that one, I'm sure.
Yeah, you can just go to Washington and look up Tulip Festival. You're definitely going to see that out in Seattle.
Tulalip Valley, right.
Tulalip Valley, yeah. That sounds
right.
It was amazing. Yeah, my younger sister went there a couple years ago for her birthday, and boy, was it a gift for her. She didn't want to come home. She just wanted to lay in all the flowers. And I'm sure the bees were there too, so that's awesome. That's awesome. They probably have honey up there you can get that's from all the flowers too, which would be really, really cool too. So just remind everybody, you know, the bees do make such a difference in our lives, and there's all different wonderful information out there that can really make a difference when it comes to, you know, keeping what we have sacred and having a a way that we can work with what's out there and just kind of changing the way we do things a little bit. So if you have any questions or comments with that, please go ahead and leave it with the show. And we thank you again for joining us and having a beautiful day. Thanks for calling us, and we'll talk to you later.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.